when things start to happen quickly for people, and this has happened to me, it's, oh, wait a minute, we're going too fast. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened so quickly. Oh, I'm not ready for this. We'll put the brakes on and the gas at the same time. And the reason why we do that, it's kind of like, I call it the goal dip, where we're reaching the goal. Things are happening quickly for us because we're in alignment and we're focused, more focused than ever. But our mindset and our self-image just hasn't caught up with us yet where we are.
Welcome to the Anthropology Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Walker. As a former naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I align the intersection of personal performance, purpose, and innovative thinking in badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. Anthropology is the study and science of what makes an entrepreneur think, feel, and perform in a path compelled by a vision for helping others, solving problems, while building a life on your own terms. Together, we are exploring the health, mindset, and strategies that distinguish the world's best entrepreneurs. This is the Anthropology Podcast. Welcome to episode 227. This is a really exciting interview. I am super excited to introduce you to Laura Noel. Laura runs a company called Stretching Into Success, and she is a mindset consultant who works with entrepreneurs to help them move outside their comfort zone. Laura has this really compelling background, starting her career in the military and then having this really epiphany type moment where she had complete and total clarity on what her purpose was meant to be in life. She made a total transition out of the military into consulting, and we go deep today on the mindset tactics that are required to take your vision and your life to the next level. Think of this as like working with a mindset trainer who is really going to help to pull you outside of your comfort zone and give you specific tactics to make that happen. Laura is so interesting. This interview was so juicy, and I'm super excited to give you the opportunity to get to know her now. Laura Noel, welcome to the Anthropology Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, this is a conversation I'm really looking forward to having. And before we jumped in, I shared with you that one of the things our listeners have been asking about a lot and have been conversing about on some of our platforms is this idea of imposter syndrome and stepping outside our comfort zone and all of these things that I think are universal to our experience as entrepreneurs and something we frankly just need to overcome. And so before we go deep on this idea, Laura, I'd love for you to share with my listeners a little bit more about your background, what brought you to this point, and why working with companies and individuals to get them outside their comfort zone is something you are so uniquely qualified to do.
Oh, thank you so much. I have been working in leadership and development and coaching people for more than 20 years. I was in the military, of course, for almost 28 years, just shy of that. And all the while, I was looking for my purpose as I was approaching potentially the 30-year mark and having to get out and retire at 30 years. I was wondering, oh my gosh, what's my purpose? What am I going to do with this life? And I didn't know. And I was collecting all of these degrees and certifications. And toward the end of my career, one of those certifications was in yoga, teaching yoga. And what I loved about it was the mindset piece of it. And of course, we know the physical practice, but it was really the mindset piece that I started teaching at my schoolhouse for other colleagues of mine. And I just noticed that their moods were shifting. They felt better in their bodies. I mean, there were people who had suffered from PTSD and that was making a difference there. And I thought, my gosh, if I could bottle up this and all of the leadership that I've been working on and, you know, have a curriculum to teach this to people and help more people, people who normally might not even gravitate toward yoga, that would be amazing. And right when I made that decision, I didn't know that was a decision at the time, but just asking that and putting it out there in the ether and being curious, when I went to a personal development seminar and Bob Proctor was speaking my language, and he was basically taking everything that I learned in leadership and yoga philosophy, but was talking about how our mind works and how we attract what we are and the conscious and subconscious mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's it. I basically shot up in the audience, asked him, how do you know when you found your purpose? And instead of 3 years later, retiring and doing this work, 3 months later, I submitted my retirement. Gosh. And 6 months, I was full-time entrepreneur teaching this material.
I really love that, you know, for a few reasons. One, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm obsessed with this concept of purpose.
Yeah.
And what that means, and actually the influence it has on people's physiological health. So we can really delve in there a little bit. But the other piece that I was watching happen as you were sharing this or listening, was this idea of leveraging your previous experience and building it into this unique version of the work that you were doing and this unique version of the credentials that you had earned. And one of the things I observe often happening, and I'm sure you see the same thing, is people get a new credential and they're like, okay, well, now I'm going to be a yoga teacher. And then they go to try to be a yoga teacher like all the other yoga teachers. And they're like, well, it's not really like I wanted it to be. And then they get a new credential and they're like, I'm going to go be this thing. And there's this jumping around. And what was so obvious in you sharing your story was that you're like, I took all these things and I made that my unique value proposition. Was that just how you approach life, or did someone coach you on that idea? Because it's actually not intuitive and obvious to most people.
Yeah, I think at that time I had really been doing a lot of personal development work on myself. And I mean, I'd always been very decisive. I just knew. For years, I was collecting all of these degrees and certifications. And when I stood up and asked Bob Proctor, how do you know when you found your purpose? And he said, you know, we have something that I think you'd be really great at. Please give me your contact information. And, you know, we'll connect after this. I had goosebumps. It was like I was charged with electricity. And in that moment, I knew that whatever it was, I found it. And so I jumped in with both feet, and I took decisive action without overthinking it. So I think in some way I had that, but at that moment, because I said, gosh, if I could, I think the key was I said, if I could package up this curriculum, when it was making a decision about that, that made it clear so that when the opportunity presented itself in the form of Bob, I knew that this was it. So I made a decision first, and then I was open to any possibility of it showing up, and I acted immediately.
Well, decisions provide so much clarity. I love that you said that. Mm-hmm. How do we know if we found our purpose?
I think for me, it was a feeling. And over the years, I was really keying in and leveraging my curiosity and allowing myself to be curious. I think you have to stay curious to see. Sometimes I would get feedback on, ooh, I don't think I like that. And that's not a bad thing. I tried things that I didn't care for, or I tried other things that there were some aspect of it that I liked, but maybe something that I didn't. And that helped me get more clarity around, okay, these are the things that I want, and these are the things that I don't want. And the more clarity I got around those things, when the thing showed up, I was ready. And I feel like that's an important part of the journey, is allowing yourself to be curious. If you don't know, start somewhere, try different things that when you talk to somebody and you go, gosh, I wonder how they got into that, or I wonder what it's like to do that. That's your curiosity. That's your intuition guiding you. So follow it.
Do you fall prey to big shiny object syndrome?
I did. Yes.
Okay. and how did you get over that condition?
Yeah. I got over that condition and I can't say that I got over it. It's still a part of me. I don't fall prey to it. And if I catch myself sooner. So I love all things. I'm curious. I love experiences. And when I, back in the day, when I was setting all kinds of what seemed like big goals for myself, I was all over the place. I was chasing shiny objects. And from the outside looking in, it looked like, wow, she's really accomplishing a lot. But I never had joy in those accomplishments because they weren't fulfilling and they weren't me. They weren't purpose driven. It was something outside of myself that was trying to fill that I'm not good enough, you know, mantra that I was telling myself. But when I learned how to set goals, that's when everything shifted for me. And so now my goal, I only have one or two. It's exciting and scary at the same time. And the goal is so huge that I have no idea how I'm going to get there. But when I focus on my goal, I'm guided toward, well, what's the next step in that goal? So when something comes into my attention or purview, I know, does it fit? Does it not fit? And so I'm much better at discerning, is this in alignment with what I want? Or is this something, I have a folder on my desktop, it's called bucket list. And so just to help me deal with it, I'll put it in the bucket list. Right. I can go back and get it later, but it's not serving me right now.
I think this clarity piece is so critical. I used to see this in my clinical practice. I see this with working with entrepreneurs now, and I feel like it's actually at the top, like to use a clinical term, it's at the top of my differential list. When someone comes in, they're like, I just can't get traction in my business or the work that I'm doing. And I ask them like really pointed questions that can now enable me to decipher whether they have clarity around what they want in their personal life, in their professional life, in the seemingly gray zone that intersects the two of them. And it seems from my experience to be the sort of universal element that if there's that lack of clarity, all of the other pieces cannot be executed upon the way we would like them to be. Your business Stretch into Success as a consulting entity, what does that look like? What do you provide for your clients?
Yeah, primarily I work with individuals and I take them through a process. It's either I'll work with them for 6 months at a time or a year, and we're on a journey together. So I guide them through the process of gaining clarity on their goal. And then and not just a goal, like not, something that's a stretch, but a vision with a guesstimate of a timeline, and they're excited and scared at the same time, have no idea how to reach it. So I want them to get really excited about that goal. And then we start moving toward that goal, and I help them replace the old scripts in their mind that is the old version of them. Because remember, they're setting something that they've never done before. So they have to become somebody different. So I'm taking them on a journey where I'm giving them the pieces to help them recreate the script of them. And we're moving at the same time. Because we always hear the saying, it's, you know, success is 95% mindset, 5% doing. And I strongly believe that if you don't have your mind right, and if you aren't that person yet in your mind who has the goal, you're not going to get there, or you're going to touch on it briefly and then revert back to your old habitual way of being.
You know, in my experience of doing a big goal and getting outside our comfort zone, a natural side effect of that is this emergence of something called imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. And some people seem to fall prey to it more than others. But I suspect in the clients that you work with, when you're like, let's work for this goal out here, let's get outside this comfort zone, you must see and experience and need to help people manage this idea of imposter syndrome a fair bit.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Because what I find is when you are truly going for something that you've never done before, and you're in alignment and you're shaping your beliefs about who you are in relation and in harmony with that goal, things will happen quickly for you. But when things start to happen quickly for people, and this has happened to me, it's, oh, wait a minute, we're going too fast. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened so quickly. Oh, I'm not ready for this. We'll put the brakes on and the gas at the same time. And the reason why we do that, it's kind of like, I call it the goal dip. Where we're reaching the goal, things are happening quickly for us because we're in alignment and we're focused, more focused than ever. But our mindset and our self-image just hasn't caught up with us yet where we are. Right. And so, we have to strengthen that and build that.
How do we strengthen it?
You know, we hear a lot of talk about affirmations and things of that nature. And it can be tricky because saying affirmations just as words, like blah, 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 it doesn't work, right? You have to get emotionally involved with what you're saying and feel it. So I have people visualize where they want to be. I also have them change their perspective in terms of their goal is not a destination they're striving for, but I want them to view the world from their goal. So how would they walk? How would they talk? Who would they surround themselves with? You know, if part of their goal is to live in this type of house and it's decorated in a certain way, well, what can you do in your physical surroundings right now to create that? So maybe it's not financially feasible to do that now, but could you start looking at homes and get into the emotion and feeling of it? So I really help people get in tune with their energy, because energy, like attracts like. And so to get into that energy that's in harmony with their goal, they really have to start doing things, living as that person in their mind and in their physical surroundings to the best of their ability right now. So that's a good start.
Do you take the same approach if you're working with someone who's caught in a scarcity mindset? Is it the same process or do you look at it differently?
It's the same process. It's, because it's really, okay, let's look at what you're believing right now. And it's getting them to question, where did those beliefs come from?
Right.
And do you want to continue believing this? Do you want to believe this? Because it really, it ultimately comes from the client's desire. And do you want to change that? And if so, what would you rather believe? And so I have this conversation and I ask them, and then we start working on that. So we're basically, your subconscious mind drives your habitual behavior, and most of your behavior is habitual, and your subconscious mind believes whatever you feed it with emotion. And so let's get emotionally wrapped up around this new belief you'd rather have. And then through repetition of this new idea or this affirmation and this visualization, do we start building that image and that energy, and you're basically starving out the old belief. You're not nourishing anything anymore.
Yeah, I love that. We stop nourishing something and it's going to dwindle.
Right.
I'm curious how this psychology, because I think this is universal human psychology. We protect ourselves by being like, oh my gosh, who am I to do this? Like, I'm going to play safe. How does this manifest in a military context? And I ask the question because I have this impression as someone with zero military experience and frankly touch points, that I would suspect you are driven outside your comfort zone on a fairly frequent basis and appreciate that there's training that supports that. Mm-hmm. But how does this manifest in that context?
Oh gosh. Well, you know, we're driven by our habitual beliefs. And that's what really governs our habitual behavior. And those are our paradigms. And so in the military, when you're in basic training, they're tearing you down to build you back up in the paradigm or the belief system or the core values of that service. So, you know, integrity first, service before self, excellence in all we do, for example, are the Air Force core values. And how that can play out is, I mean, I'll take service before self. I mean, we have to be willing to put our lives on the line in the defense of our country and our national interests. But sometimes we can misunderstand service before self in the context of an in garrison mission where we're, you know, not in a wartime scenario, but we're doing our job day in and day out to where we're depleting ourselves. And we're looking at other people. What? You're not working past 7 p.m.? Oh, you know, that's selfish. And I think we can kind of get that twisted. But so it can fall into the context of, you know, we have our core values and those are our beliefs that are driving our behavior. And that's very true in the military. We can turn it around to where we can cause self-inflicted pain on ourselves when we get those core values a little bit out of balance. But also when we transition out of the military, which is what I experienced, because these core values are so deeply ingrained in us, well, I'm used to doing things in a certain way that support a certain mission. And I don't, you have to be able to take decisive action quickly in the context of a goal or the mission, but right. we're not so used to reflecting and going inward. What am I feeling right now? What does my inner being want? What, you know,
that doesn't feel like military language to me.
But. No, it doesn't. Yeah. It's a different, mindset shift. It was, yeah. To be military, and we have entrepreneurial values. I mean, we're driven and we're focused, right. but to step into the role of an entrepreneur and really tap into my own creativity and not get pulled into that hustle and grind
yes.
that I was used to, that was a complete mindset shift. But I feel like it's similar. It would be similar in a corporate job too, when you're sure. in that grind.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things I'm coming to value even more as an entrepreneur at this phase of my career is blank space, mm-hmm. blank space in my schedule, blank space to just like think and ideate and like have an idea, have room before I have to just keep pushing content out into the world. It's a privilege to have that, but I really see the benefit of that piece as well. What role does the discipline training that you experience in the military have in terms of serving you as an entrepreneur, or does it at this point?
It does, but it's discipline in a different way. It's discipline in being a leader of self. And what I mean by that is being a leader of what thoughts I allow myself right. to entertain. It's more in the mindset piece instead of being driven by external circumstances. And that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, that's daily work.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, so many of these things are mm-hmm. our daily work on the physical side, on the mindset side. Take us through what it looks like to work with you from a process perspective. I know we have a ton of entrepreneurs within our space who recognize, listen, I have big goals. I understand the mechanics that I need to execute on in order to get there. But there's this thing that keeps getting in my way of being able to actualize on that. What does that whole process look like in terms of an experience for them?
Yeah. So we get really clear on currently what they're working on. What are their current goals? So I'll just have a conversation and a little consultation with them to see where they are and what they've been working on, what they feel has been getting in their way. And we bridge that gap between what they feel is getting in their way and what I'm seeing. And we talk about how we can close that gap. And a big part of it is, you know, there's so many people. It seems simple. If we know where we are and we know where we want to go in terms of our goals, why are so many people stuck? And it's the thing that's blocking us is our paradigms. It's our beliefs about what we think we're capable of doing. We're looking at our past or our past credentials, or our past certifications, past mistakes. What we're looking at, what we think we lack, instead of focusing our direction on what we want. Because truthfully, it doesn't matter. None of those things in the past. I mean, I brought in my past credentials into my business, but it wasn't what drove me to becoming an entrepreneur. Those things I started to add in as I was moving in the direction of my vision. I focused on what I want. So that's what we would do together. We'd get clarity around that goal, figure out what it is that's blocking them, what paradigm specifically, and then we'll work on replacing them with ones that are in harmony with where they want to go. And then I'm helping them build their self-image. When you make decisions like the person you want to become, it's scary because physically you're not that person yet. You haven't manifested all of the things yet. But in order for you to up-level and attract all of the things and the business success and the relationship success, all of that, you have to start making decisions differently and thinking differently, not doing more of the same. And naturally, you're going to have fear. That's a normal part of this. And so I help them walk through that fear. And so that eventually they're manifesting the things, they're making it happen. And when they look back over 6 months, they can see that they're a completely different person. But then they have the tools because we're always going to be growing. We don't just get somewhere and we stay. We're always evolving and growing. So I want them to have the toolkit that they can apply as they build on their goals.
How do we teach people to be decisive?
You have to know.
Can you teach my husband to be decisive? Just kidding. I know he's not going to hear this.
Oh, you know what's so funny is I laugh at my husband. We'll go to the ice cream stand and they have all of the flavors and we'll stand there in line for 20 minutes. I already know what I want. And we get up to the line and then he'll look at me and he'll go, what do I want? What do I usually get? And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I think that's so funny. But so that really to make decisions quickly, you have to know what you want. When you know what you want, you very quickly can discern, is this in harmony with it or is it not? But you can also practice making decisions in a low stakes kind of way. So if you are the type of person that doesn't make decisions quickly and you want to flex that mental muscle, which is right. what it is. Yeah. When you go to a restaurant, instead of looking at what everybody else is ordering or, wow, that looks good. Maybe I'd like that. Or, oh, how's that? You look at the menu, you decide and choose and go with it and don't fall back on it. You're practicing, you're flexing that mental muscle. And guess what? Nobody's going to get hurt. You're going to make the decision. The food's going to come and everything's going to be okay.
I'm just going to pull this clip out just for Greg. We have this like ongoing joke and we're in lockdown in Ontario right now. But when we used to go to restaurants and every time he'd be like, I'm getting this. And then the person would come and then he'd be like, should I like, do you recommend this or this? And so it's just this great running joke, but I'm going to pull that clip out just for him. We also just make decisions differently. And right. I know some people like, I don't know if you've looked at the Colby index, but you know, we talk about like, are you a fact finder? Are you a quick start? Are you like, listen, I know he needs more facts to make a decision than I do. And so what informs our decision-making power is slightly different, but come on, man, we gotta just like, we gotta jump in there. Laura, when you're working with entrepreneurs and you're looking at sort of the landscape of things that we need to flex in terms of those muscles, decision making and decisiveness is one of them. What are some of the other arenas where you're like, listen, you're going to go do that mindset workout today. Here are some of the other muscle groups that we need to make sure we're paying attention to.
Imagination. We are taught, we're taught at a very young age, and I love education. I'm back in school working on my PsyD cert, you know. I love education, and you need your education, you know, you need the requisite skills to do the things that you want to do. But we're not taught to use our imagination when we're children going to school. We're taught that's daydreaming, and quickly we stop flexing that muscle. But that's where we create images of what we want. And that's where it starts. So flexing that imagination, learning how to see and visualize. So that's one thing that we work on together. Intuition is another mental muscle. And we could take it back to that restaurant idea. So would we rather learn to be driven decision makers by what's inside of us? All of our answers are inside of us. And we use and tap into our intuition. We can do that and learn to do that effectively by flexing that muscle. Otherwise, we're looking outside of ourselves. What do you think I should do? Do you think I should do that? And then we're asking other people who don't know how to make decisions either. So I'm not saying that we don't, you know, trust people, but trust people who are doing what you want to be doing. Be an intelligent follower. So trust that intuition. So these are part of your mental faculties. You know, your memory, your perception, your will, those are other aspects of your mental faculties that I help people flex so that they're living from the inside out and not from the outside in.
I love this. Such great advice. And I feel like the perfect place to make a transition in our conversation. And I was sharing with you before, I have an element of the interview I call our KPIs, key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I believe we have them in how we live our life as well. So I've got a few rapid fire questions for you, Laura.
Great.
And the first one is, what is your most recommended book of 2021?
This is not, I have so many books, but one that's on my desk right now is The Power of Awareness by Neville Goddard. I study this book. It just gets me to tap into who I truly am. And have a deeper understanding of how powerful these mental faculties are that I just talked about. So I have all kinds of notes. The book is falling apart, but I love it. It's my daily go-to.
Amazing. What is your favorite health hack?
Meditation. Honestly.
I could have pulled that from a multiple choice question. Just having listened to you, I love that. And we haven't had a chance to go deep on that piece, but solid. I really appreciate that. I had this question before we even started our interview today, but how would you define your purpose?
My purpose is helping people get aligned with their purpose and the power that's already inside of them, helping them get clear and focused on their dreams and living it with ease and flow, just not being in that grind. Because after all, I don't want people to feel like, oh, I'll work and then I'll enjoy life. I want them to create a life that they're in love with. I want to help them do that.
Amazing. And last question for you, Laura, entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think we can learn to become entrepreneurs, and it's a decision. I don't come from an entrepreneurial family. I don't have that background. I just decided this is what I wanted, and this is the freedom that I wanted to create in my life, and this is how I wanted to serve. And I jumped and I developed wings on the way down.
I love it. Laura, you're up to amazing things in this world. I love the ideas that you shared with us today. Where can we direct people to learn more about the awesome work that you are doing?
Oh, thank you. Well, I have a welcome page just for your listeners. So if they go into stretchintosuccess.com/anthropology, there's a bunch of resources there. So I have a mindset techniques form or PDF there that they could download and read, and some tools and techniques to get them started. I have workshops and webinars. They can learn more about that, or they can connect with me on a call. So all of those resources are there for them.
Fantastic. And all of those things will be available in this episode's show notes. For those of you looking for that, you can go to meganwalker.com/podcast to be able to access those show notes and the gift that Laura has so generously shared. Laura, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun and I loved it. Thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure. I so loved this interview with Laura today because I found it so tactical. We went from having big picture concepts that we were talking through to really making it practical advice to help us engage in the mindset that's going to lead us towards success. You know, imposter syndrome is this thing I hear about more than anything else from a mindset perspective in terms of working with clients. And I love the way that Laura was just so matter of fact around moving through it. I really believe that we are on the right track as entrepreneurs. We are thinking in a big way when we come in contact with this notion of imposter syndrome. It is a symptom of doing big things and big work in this world. We need to change our relationship with it. Laura had so much practical advice. She's got some incredible resources. And as I shared earlier, we have a new version of my website where it's so much easier to be able to find these pieces. You can head over to meganwalker.com/podcast, where you're going to be able to access all of the resources that Laura shared with us today. Now, the other thing I want to know from all of you is what role imposter syndrome has played in your life. If you head over to my Instagram account, Dr. Megan Walker, we are running today's poll where we are starting to look at the influence of imposter syndrome as a marker for us moving outside our comfort zone in a positive way. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did. As always, I am Megan Walker, wishing you an impactful week ahead, and we'll hang out again together next Tuesday.